started. Can we have your attention? Ed's going to pray.
All right. Let me test this mic. There we go. All right, Lord, we thank you for Fred, Lord. We thank you for the time that he spent putting this message together, Lord God. And Lord, we just ask that your spirit would come over him and, Lord, that you would just be speaking through him as we hear your word. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Ken's here. We have an elder in the house. But the title of this teaching today is Weakness. So we should all know a little bit about that.
But it was
more, some more than others. Let's not point fingers. But as soon as my wife gets a glass of water, she'll start off with Romans 8, 26 through 29.
In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. For those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son.
All right. Well, I'm glad you got through that, babe. But I want to start off with the first line. It says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now, when somebody helping you, you know, it's not that he's doing it for you. He's here to give you a helping hand. I mean, that's just like if I had, say, Ken come over and help me move a dresser or something, and I tell Ken, there goes a dresser, I want it upstairs. I think Ken might be a little upset that I'm not helping him carry the other end. You know, in the same way, you know, because in the same way the Spirit is there to help us, but we still have to do our part in, you know, in life. I mean, the meaning of help is, and I got this out of the Bible dictionary. It says, the meaning of help is, someone is carrying a heavy load. The other person comes alongside and takes the other end to bear the burden with him. Makes it easier for someone to do something by offering a service or a resource. And in the same way, the Spirit comes to help us along, but we have to do our part by, you know, denying certain weaknesses, to have the mindset to, you know, to say that I'm not going to do this no more. You know, and how do I want to say this? He talks about the Spirit groaning for us, you know, because he's an interceder. And to intercede for somebody, you are going on their behalf to talk to somebody, to bring a reconciliation. I didn't actually write that meaning down. I just kind of doing it from memory, so it might be not word for word. But, you know, he reconciles us to Lord, to God. You know, pleads on our behalf to help according to God's will. You know, sometimes God wants us to go through certain trials to strengthen us. You know, we just want it to be washed away, wake up the next morning and not feel no temptation, no weakness at all. I mean, I know I can't speak for everybody, but if that happened to me, I'd be like, cool, you know, I ain't got to battle no more with certain things. But we are, it also says we are predestined. Now, I don't want to get into predestined too much, because that is like, it is mind-boggling to think how we were predestined since birth to be here today. You know, you can go, well, why did I go for this, do this. How can you use me, Lord? I mean, I kind of was reading a lot on it, and it got real confusing to because you can go down so many rabbit holes with that. But we are chosen. You know, I believe, you know, Paul says we are predestined. You know, God predestined us to be here today. So if he predestined us to be here today, he already predestined that you would have this weakness or these weaknesses that you have. So if he predestined, he's going to make a way out for you. Predestined, I actually wrote this down. God, in his infinite foreknowledge, knew that certain people who submit to be conformed to his, to the image of his son, and he predestined them for this. He predestined us to be transformed into the image of Christ. You know, and so we are in that process. You know, I always like to think, I'll never be perfect, but I can always be better. You know, I like to try to have that, even though you know, we have weakness, we fall. Some, if we look, when we first came to Christ, we had all kinds of weakness. We can look and see how, you know, God has brought us through that. What makes you think he ain't going to bring you farther along than what you are now? You know, because if if he predestined us for this, he's not going to leave us now. You know, you can say, I've been battling this thing for years. You know, and I, you know, pray more. That's all I can say. You know, are we praying more? Or are we being lackadaisical to just say, yeah, you know, it is what it is, and that's all it's going to be? No, God ain't like that. Ed Trout told me one time, God loves you too much to leave you alone. You know, so because you're like, just leave me alone. You know, and that's when I first came to Christ, and that's the way I felt, is bothering me, because you know you're marked by Christ when certain things do bother you. When they don't bother you, that's when you should be worrying if you had the Spirit. You know, because if certain weaknesses don't bother you, then you had to do some checkings on yourself, because, you know, God loves you too much to leave you where you're at. So in that way, you know, can weakness be a good thing? You know? And, I was going to have my wife read this, but I'll read it. Well, does somebody want to do some reading? Oh, all right, Ricardo. Read 2 Corinthians 12. 7 through 10.
Second Corinthians 12:7-10.
Second Corinthians 12:7-10.
Say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations.
Hold on with that. You got Corinthians?
Second Corinthians?
Yeah, different interpretation. Oh, what you got? You have NIV?
12:7. Or because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong.
You know, it's hard to think that you are strong when you're when you're feeling weak. You know, I can actually to do this teaching, and Brian actually touched on it on his teaching last week, like, when you're going to do a teaching, you start going through this stuff, you know. And they shared a few things that they went through when they was teaching on anger. But so I decided to teach on weakness. Then I have a couple hard days at work. Then I start coming down with a cold. So I can feel I'm coming down with a cold. So I started taking NyQuil. That's what I do. I can feel it coming on, so I try to knock it out before it really hits. I take a NyQuil. You know, when I'm taking big gulps of the NyQuil before I go. So you wake up the next day, it's feeling, you know, not good. So I go through, oh, I feel better. Well, by the end of work, you feel that cold again, your sore throat. So I did this for 4 days. You know, now it's like Friday. You know, so I'm like, oh, man. I want to call Bob and ask if I can switch with somebody. You know, because I don't feel good, you know. You know, and I, you know, haven't really done no studying and just, you know, I'm like, it's getting close. So then I had a thing. You're doing a teaching on weakness, and you want to bail out? I mean, that's not really, you know. And so I said, all right, Lord, you know, help me. You know, I'm going to set my mind to do this, you know, when I got all day Saturday, you know. Oh, Fred, you got work Saturday. You got to be here 5:30 in the morning. All right, well, I got all day the afternoon, right? On top of that, wife calls me, had to put the dog down after 11 years. So I'm like, you know, so, but that was like the topping on the cake, you know? And yeah, he's a good dog. But my wife had to take him to get him put down. But the thing is, my wife used to always complain about this dog. Because the dog was, you know, a dog, he would get into trash downstairs. And sometimes you wouldn't know he'd get in the trash. I would know because I had to clean up the poop on the outside. And you'd see all kinds of toilet paper and stuff in it. But, so there's a lot of times he got into stuff I didn't say. But he would go downstairs, and if you didn't shut the laundry room or put the hamper in the laundry room, he would take all the clothes out and lay on them, even though he had a place to lay. He just liked doing that. And, you know, you would see his hair all over it. That dog, you got to get rid of him. She cried like a baby when she had to put that dog down. I was like, you know what? I said, so it's kind of the same way, you know, we can get on the Lord's, you know, we don't do what the Lord wants us to do, but still, he weeps for us when we do these things. You know, I can, you know, and that kind of breaks my heart, you know, for this everything he has done already, you know. And he, all right, let me not get into that because I'll get emotional. I'll be like my wife with a hanky over there. But, so in, you know, in our weakness, we Paul says we are made strong, because in our weakness it draws us more towards God. You know, because if we really wanna, you know, if it really aches our heart, then we're gonna go to God in prayer. You know, that's always like in the good times our prayer life is kind of lacking. You know, I'll be the first one to admit, let some hard times come. You know, and I'm praying constantly. You know, which is a shame. You know, and so I think in this weakness, we draw closer to God. You know, so in that way, it is a good thing. You know, Paul talks about it keeps me from being conceited, weakness. It keeps him humble. To know, you know, that you ain't all that, you know, because you do have weakness, you know. You know, we're human, so we can get to think we're up higher than what we actually are. You know, I think so that's a humbling thing. You know, for one thing, you admit that I am weak, you know, and Lord, I do need your help, you know, in this area. you know. And when you get through this weakness or trials, don't worry, there'll be another one. It'll keep you humble, because you know we're only mortal, you know. So, but I can look.
Go ahead and be emotional.
I'm a man, dude. I'm strong. You know, here weakness. But I mean, because we don't know what the thorn in the side is. We don't know if it's a physical ailment, you know, or we just don't know it's something that Paul was dealing with, you know, maybe it's in his life, you know. But look at what greatness he done, and him as himself, he says, "I'm weak," you know. The devil would have you think that in your weakness you cannot even do nothing. Look at what you're doing, and you're over here talking to that person, you know. I mean, if God can use, if he didn't use sinful people, then he won't be using nobody, because we all fall short from the glory. So, but we always have to strive to be better. Like I said, we'll never be perfect, but we can always be better. And, I mean, so, I look at David. Actually, since I got time, I didn't write none of this down, or didn't get the scripture. I'll just do it off the top of my head, but I remember. So, David, if you look at him when he sinned with Bathsheba, he's supposed to be with his army, because his army goes out, and usually the king goes with his army. Well, what was the reason why he didn't go out? And I don't know whether he just didn't feel like it. You know, I can tell you I don't feel like doing a lot of things I should do. And he gets up and he goes out on his balcony, whatever, and he sees her bathing. You know, so now he's interested. So he goes and he wants to find out about her. So he sends a servant to go find out about her. The servant comes back. Said that's Uriah's wife, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, right then and there, if he was feeling lust, he should have went in and started praying, because this is another man's wife. He does the totally opposite, bring her. He didn't bring her. You know, so he didn't even attempt to fight that. He should have went in, you know, and told the Lord, you know, I'm having lust for this woman, and it's not my wife, you know, and help me, blah, blah, whatever. You know, and so he just, you know, if you know the story, he, you know, they're having relations with her, and ends up killing the husband to hide the sin, blah, blah, blah. But Nathan comes to him after all this and tells him what he's done. But what I always took away from that scripture is Nathan, the Lord tells him all the stuff he has already given him. You know, I gave you the kingdom, gave you your enemy's house, gave you all these things, you know, riches. And if you wanted more, all you had to do is ask and I would have gave you more. You know, and it always struck me, like, if we're doing the right thing, now if you can't ask for everything, you know, it's according to his will. But if we're fighting the good fight, that God will take care of us. You know, he will give us certain desires of our heart, you know. Of course, when we was younger, we was like, hey, give me more money, you know, or something, you know. But as you draw near to God, them desires, they ain't as prominent no more. Of course, we always want to take care of our families, and you know, but you don't ask for that Cadillac no more, or you don't ask for, you know, money, or, you know, more. It's like, help me with my weakness is more important than give me cash, you know, and all these things will come, you know. So, and it says, so I go from David. Then I look at, wow, I am really speeding through this. Does anybody got anything to say? All right, Donovan. All right, help me out here, brother, because I am speeding through this.
Yeah, I like that analogy you gave of the dog, actually, because I think of, like, you know, you think of a dog. If you took a plate of hamburger and put it in the middle of the floor and then left the room, what's a dog going to do? He's going to eat the hamburger. And you can't come into the room and then say, well, you know, I can't believe that dog ate that hamburger, because it's the nature of the dog to eat that food. You know what I mean? But if you put it on a table and the dog jumped up on the table and ate it, you'd be mad at the dog. But it's still the dog's nature to do that. And that's what we're trying to kill, right, is that nature inside of us that is contrary to God's nature. And so, you know, the word says we're supposed to put to death the flesh. That's easier said than done, because it seems like every time I try to kill a part of it, it just tries to rise up. You know, and so that's the struggle. And that's what, you know, that's, I like the analogy of the dog, because I think of ourselves like, you know, we're kind of like those dogs in the eyes of God. I mean, he's so much bigger and better and smarter than us. You know, I'm not going to beat my dog because she jumps on the table and eats the food, because I should have taken the food off the table. It's not God's fault, though, that we sin or that we have weakness. But when we fail to confront the weakness, when we give in to that and say, well, I'm just a dog, you know, and so what do you expect? That's when it's dangerous.
Amen.
Can I say something? I might cry again.
Well, you know, when him this teaching of weakness, of course, you know, the wife has to go through it too. So I was very thankful that our house, though, was very at peace, because normally it's not when he has to teach. We stuff comes up. But anyway, you know, I guess I cry because, and I think this is why I'm crying. So forgive me for crying. My husband always says, oh, Esther, you're so hard on yourself. But you know what? Every one of us here knows certain things that God's talked to you about. Every single one of us. None of us here can say, you know, if I say, Sammy, oh, that's not that bad, Sammy. You're just being hard on yourself. But Sammy, you know what God told you in your heart, don't you, Sammy? You know when God deals with you about a certain situation. And that's why I cry. I cry because, like my husband says, instead of me praying that I not do the things that he's asked me not to do, I do it. So, but I also cry because I know that through what I'm going through, he's teaching me maturity. And eventually, I will be doing what he asked me to do, because he's got a greater purpose for me. I just don't know that. You know what I'm saying? We don't know that. Like, Brittany, you were called for a greater purpose. You were called for something better. Tony, you were called for a greater purpose. You're loved. You just don't know it, because you were been touched, maybe, or I don't know, or spoken to like that. And that's how we need to see ourselves, as God says. You're supposed to be holy and righteous so that I can use you for a bigger, better purpose. Not this little piddly life I've chosen, Esther has chosen for herself. We've been chosen for bigger things. You don't know what you're going to do when you walk out these doors today. You don't know the job that he has. But it's because he tells you to deny your flesh. Stop it. Don't do that no more, because I've spoken to you about it. And I'm asking you to stop. You know why? Because down the line, a few days from now, a week from now, an hour from now, you're going to cross about somebody's path. But it has to be without that weakness. It has to be without that sin that he's dealing with you in your heart. And that's why I cry, because I get upset that I don't do that at times. So I thank God that he's brought my husband to teach on weakness, because it makes me see it a little bit.
Good thing you don't run out of tears.
Yeah, Paul had weaknesses, so did Jesus. And he was at the cross, and he's already crucified. He was crying drops of blood, and he prayed. That was the key. When you're weak, you pray. And he sent an angel to strengthen him. And that's where the strength came from, the angel. But like with Paul, his thorn was one that couldn't be healed, one could never go away. Some weaknesses you can get strength on. If you seek after God and seek him, he'll give you grace and strength to overcome them and you'll get stronger. James talked about it in James, and we kind of do have a trial and tribulation. The key with that is the weakness is within, not without. Struggle, sin, but if you struggle in the inside, not the outside, you're fine. Before you face something in your life that's challenging your spirit, maybe downcasted or hurt or struggling or maybe even scared, that's when you do what Jesus did. And he put the cross. For his test of the cross, he seeked after God. He went to the garden and knelt down, got prayer, got strength. The Bible says you have not because you asked not. So he asked and he got and received. He had faith and he was in God's will. Paul had a thorn that gave him grace. That grace was evidence. It was sufficient for him. A lot of people don't like weaknesses. Well, they're great. It just matters if you see the fruit of it enough times, you'll get to the point where you know it, not believe it, or have faith. You know that grace is going to come because that weakness has been proven time after time, and it's like second nature, and this comes in a lifestyle that gets lived out through doing this so many times. You can't second guess it. It's right there every time. He's faithful every time.
Good work. Amen, Dwayne. Because you just took Brian half my end of my teaching of Jesus, but good word, brother. You get a confirmation. But yeah, like you did say, it's through our walk, if we stay in the Word and stay in the strong prayer. On this teaching, I wasn't going to use it, but because I thought the number, the percentage was too high. But this guy said, I don't know where he gets his statistics. It's on the internet, so it must be true. So it's not, but no, it's serious. That he says that 90% of evangelical Christians do not have a good prayer life.
What was that?
He said 90%. I thought 90.
He's probably right.
Yeah, I said, wow, that's true. Yeah, I mean, this brings me back to that, you know, humble yourself and pray and I will heal your land. I'm like, 90% of us not praying, right? I mean, that ain't never going to be come true. You know, I mean, it's actually a little scary in a way that we have become, you know, lacking, you know. And, you know, I kind of looked up, I did a teaching on being lackadaisical, you know, and so I kind of brought that back. We are lazy in our prayer life. You know, I'm guilty. You know, and it's a lack of enthusiasm, you know, or, you know, it's carelessly lazy. You know, you're not lazy, you're just being carelessly lazy, you know, because this is the one thing, or part of the one thing, the word is important, but prayer is the one thing that can get you through all this stuff, you know, and we don't do it as we should. You know, and I mean, to me, I mean, I kind of, for myself, doing the teaching, I kind of felt bad for saying I'm not in prayer as strong as I should be. You know, so I pray God to help me in that area. You know, I mean, not just sitting there driving the car, oh Lord, or, you know, you need to get on your knees and humble yourself in a stronger way. You know, it's easy just to drive on the way to work because you ain't doing nothing anyways but driving and, talk to the Lord, which is good. Get me wrong, but sometimes you need to get down and say, Lord, I need help in this area. You know, I've fell this many times and, you know, I don't see no way out. You know, and I've been trying, you know, but we're trying on our own. Are we missing the other half? You know, are we dragging the dresser ourselves, or is the Holy Spirit the other end lifting the other end for us? You know, I think a lot of times we think God's helping us, and you know, or not. God's not listening, but we're not. He wants us to to pray more, be more humble in that area. To call out with groaning, like the word says. You know, when you start groaning, you're, and my wife, you're crying. I mean, not to put my wife under the bus, but you know, you're feeling this anguish, you know.
That's why the word says fervent prayers, and that's exactly what you were describing there, that you really care. You know, how does it sound? Well, God, you know, this is my five-minute prayer section. I pray for Fred. I pray for my wife. I pray for the church. You know, your will be done, Lord. You expect anything to happen? Somebody come to you like that. Fred, would you kind of know, if you got nothing else to do, would you kind of maybe Sunday or Tuesday? Is that how I come to you, Fred, when I want you to teach?
No, not at all, not at
be
all.
Be fervent. Fervent. Fervent means you care. Act like you care. When we come in front of God, we better be caring, right? If not, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. And he will answer you. Might not be yes, but he will answer you.
Amen. All right, well. Oh, Sharon.
You open the floodgate.
I kind of look at that thorn as like a trial or a weakness that causes us to turn to God and put our reliance to rely on him, because that grace is not just unmerited favor and giving us something we don't deserve except through Christ. It's a supernatural empowerment and wisdom that teaches us and shows us what God wants for us, helps us to understand what he wants, that, like Donovan said about David, that can give us the power to turn to God and tell him, hey, this is what I am, and this is what I know I should be, and I need your grace, I need your strength to do it. It's a supernatural empowerment that gives us the ability to walk and to do what God wants us to do.
Very good. All right, and this is a kind of the scripture that Dwayne stole from me already. But man, like Dwayne said, Jesus himself had times of weakness, of this time of weakness. And, you know, he was right before he was to be arrested, you know, to go to the cross, you know. It's actually Luke 22:39-46. So it says, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw away beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer, he went back to the disciples and found them sleeping, exhausted from sorrow. Now, that's got to be a bummer. You told a guy to help you, you know, help you pray.
I got your back.
You know, and you go and you're in all this anguish. You're praying where drops of blood are coming down. You get up and them guys are sleeping. You know, and you're about ready to give your life for them. You know, wow. And why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. You know, and it's why was Jesus so anguished? Was it because he was going to the cross, or to be flogged, or to go through insult? You know, I believe the biggest thing was being separated from the Father. You know, because when he was on the cross, when all the sin came upon him, the Spirit of God left him. You know, because he cries out, Father, why have you forsaken me? You know, and forsaken me to be abandoned or deserted. You know, and if you look, I mean, in my life, I wouldn't want to be abandoned by God. You know, just through this, these weaknesses that I go through, you know, He's always there. You know, to Him to, you know, just like the disciples, when Jesus says, you know, are you going to leave me too? I mean, where am I going to go? You have all the answers, Lord. You know, God left us. Where will we go? Where will we find our answers? You know right where we'd be. Talking to that bartender, like Bob always used to say. Bartender's pretty smart. There's a good drink, too. You know, it's
a double blessing.
You know, but, you know, because Jesus, you know, in John 14:10, talks about the Father being in me and I'm in the Father. I can do nothing without the Father. You know, for Him to be separated, you know, and just left in His humanity, you know, I think that was pretty, that would cause me a lot of anguish knowing that I had to go through this stuff without Him. You know, but by His grace, we don't have to go through it without Him. That's a blessing. You know, so that's it. You know, stay in prayer.